Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated first. And tonight, I promise we shall take some questions. Those who study Bible, they are the ones that ask questions. If you study Bible, too many questions to ask. When you read this Bible, and you turn and look at what is happening among those who are holding this Bible, then you must ask a question. That was my problem when I first came to Christ. I was asking, if you have any question, come out to. I was asking, one Bible, why are we divided into denominations? Why is this denomination not agreeing with this? Why is Catholic and Protestants not agreeing with Pentecostals? Why is this like this? Why are some men of God having some titles and some don't have those titles? Why? If you read your Bible, these questions are there to ask. And I always tell people, Jesus Christ asked his disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And God told him, Jesus told him, it's upon this rock of the revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Okay, let me hear you.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, I want to ask a question from the book of Matthew chapter 19.
What is he saying?
It says, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's wombs. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there will be eunuchs which were made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Daddy, I want to ask, is this not the portion that the Roman Catholic hold, that they were making themselves a reverend father or a reverend mother?
There was a question that produced that answer. Which verse did you read now?
Verse 12.
Now, start reading it from verse 4.
And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made...
No, okay, go up to verse 2. Read it from verse 2.
And great multitude followed him.
Yes.
And he healed them there.
Yes.
The Pharisees also came unto him.
We are reading Matthew 19, yes, verse 3 now.
Yes. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him,
yes,
is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
So it is about putting away the wife that produced all that answer. So read on now.
And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twin shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Yes.
They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away?
Yes.
And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so.
Uh-huh.
And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples said unto him, if the case of the man...
Now, you see it now? So that is where your question will get clearer now. From verse 10, read on.
His disciples said unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, uh-huh. it is not good.
He said, then it is not good to marry now. So we should remain without wife. Since the only reason I have to put away my wife as a believer is except it be for fornication. So no matter how bad she is, if she decides to say, you know, I should not sleep with her as a husband, she will not cook for me. If she decides, say, in fact, she can misbehave, slap myself, do anything, and say, I cannot put her away. No matter how bad she is, we must stay together. That's what Jesus was saying. Then the disciples say, if it is so, then it's not good to make person marry now. Then Jesus answered from verse 11.
But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying.
All men cannot receive this saying.
Save they to whom it is given.
What is the saying? The saying of staying without a wife. All men cannot stay alone without a wife. Now read on verse 12.
For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb.
Yes.
And there are eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men.
Yes.
And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's
sake. For the kingdom of heaven's sake.
He that is able to receive it, let him receive it.
So your question is this the scripture
the Roman Catholic people are holding on by producing?
Now let's balance it. First Timothy. I hope that is the scripture. Let's balance it. There is a scripture that Apostle Paul spoke to chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1. 1 Timothy, yes, that is the scripture. Now read it carefully. I will read it up to verse 2 or 3. Yes.
Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly.
Yes.
That in the latter times,
yes.
some shall depart from the faith, giving yes. it to seducing spirits and doctrines
of devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Uh-huh. Speaking lies in hypocrisy.
Yes.
Having their conscience seared with hot iron.
Now, note verse 3.
Forbidding to marry.
Now, forbidding to marry. Go on. Finish the verse.
And commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
So there is, if you heard Jesus Christ in Matthew 19 saying, some have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. They made themselves, not an organization that put it as a teaching, as a doctrine. If you make it a doctrine and a teaching, it is wrong. But if you on your own decide that you will not marry for the purpose, for the kingdom of heaven's sake, and if you say for the kingdom of heaven's sake, what does he mean? Will marrying a woman stop you from making heaven? No. It simply means, because the same Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 how that he even taught in some other scriptures that he will advise people not to marry, because you that you are single, I mean, if you are married, if you have a call, you have a ministry, you are distracted by family matters. So he was advising also for the purpose of the kingdom, for the purpose of the ministry, so that you are not distracted, so that you can be focused in doing that which God has called you to do. But if you marry the same him again, he said, if you cannot contain it, oh, you better go and marry so that you don't fall into temptation. Because it is not a commandment of the Lord that before you go to heaven, all ministers should not marry. In fact, the same Apostle Paul said, the qualification, one of the qualifications to be a bishop, that is a pastor, is that you be a man that has a family that you can show an example. You bring them up. And you be a husband of one wife. Thank you. Yes, sister.
Shalom, church. Sir, my question is this. As a Christian, or before most of us become Christian, some of us are from a royal home whereby they are entitled to become maybe like a king in their family. But when you now become a Christian, is it allowed for such person to still take up that position as a king or a royal priest?
Well, the truth is this. If you're going to be a traditional ruler, because it's a traditional ruler, a traditional ruler of any community, anywhere, you are the custodian of the people's culture. And if you're a Christian, no matter how much you, it is by inheritance that you should be there. It is always not by force. You also have the prerogative of refusing it because of your faith. But if you think that you will go there and turn the whole community to a godly community, and you will destroy all the things that go contrary to your faith, and you think you have the ability to do that, then let the Christian go and take up the office. But I doubt if you will be able to do it. But if you can do it, then you go take up the office and use your influence and convert all of them to Christ. That would be wonderful. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. My second question is this, sir. I was reading through the book of...
Talk to the microphone so that they can hear you.
My second question is this. I was reading through the book of 2 Kings from, yes, chapter 1. So when I got to 9, I now saw where Elijah was like declaring that, if I be the man of God, let fire fall. So I was trying to liken it to this, our own generation, whereby things are happening, killings here and there, and we have a lot of churches everywhere. Is there nobody to stand in gap for Nigeria, or Nigeria is too big?
Praise God. Now you'll be making me go into politics that I want to avoid. The question you're asking is the same question I am asking. Now, first, let me be very direct. It's not about fire coming down. It's not about fire coming down. Elijah saw the abomination that was going on in the land. And he was listening very well, because many of us begin to compare, and I want to be very, very frank on this, and listen carefully. Many of you compare Nigeria, the nation of Nigeria, with the nation of Israel. There is no basis for comparison at all. Nigeria is a Gentile nation. Nigeria, again, is a secular state. Nigeria is not a religious nation. It's not a nation that is founded with a religion behind it. God did not establish Nigeria. It is the colonial masters that established Nigeria. Do you understand me? But the whole of Israel, they are a nation that God called his nation. But Nigeria is not God's nation, for it is written that God said Israel is the only inheritance he has on earth. Only Israel God calls my people. And because they are his people, he is the ruler of Israel. And he rules through the prophet. The prophet is God's mouthpiece. Thus said the Lord. And because he is sure of his calling, and he's talking to them, if God wants to talk to Israel, he talks through the prophets. He doesn't talk through a king. The office of a prophet in Israel was a divine appointment. For the word of the Lord always come to the prophet in Israel. And so, whenever they refuse to listen to the prophet, they make caricature of what the prophet is, then the prophet will let them know who is behind him. And so he could tell Ahab, the whole of the nation under Ahab, that there will be no rain in this nation until I call it back according to the word of my mouth. And for 3 years, no rain fall. Why? Authority has spoken. That's why we sing, God send another Elijah to pray your power down. In this country today, God's Israel is the church. God's Israel is the church. God is not dealing with Nigeria as a nation. God is dealing with his church in Nigeria. Now the problem is this. Not all Christians are of Christ. We are supposed to have prophets also, that God is supposed to talk to us through them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But we are in a different setting. Can we open Hebrews chapter 1? Verse 1. What does he say?
God, who at sundry times.
Let me read it. Okay. Since you don't want to talk loud with your microphone. God, who at sundry times, that is in the past, and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers in the wilderness, they are the Israelites, by the prophets. Who was he talking to them? He was talking to them through who? Through the prophets. That's why when they rejected Samuel and said they wanted a king like the Gentile nation, God told Samuel, it's not you they have rejected, it's me they have rejected. Verse 2. He said, this day, let's read it again. Let's read it through from verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken unto us by who?
His son.
By who?
His son.
By his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So now, God is no more speaking through the prophets. You are making me now to say things I don't want to say because I'm on air and I have many people misunderstand me when I speak. And when they interviewed me recently in Bright Television, I was saying that this country, there is no prophet in Nigeria. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is no prophet in Nigeria. Listen very well. I repeat, there is no prophet in Nigeria. What they are exercising, listen very well, they are exercising the gift of the word of knowledge. Amen. They are exercising the gift of the word of knowledge. What is the gift of the word of knowledge? The gift of the word of knowledge comes by vision. You hear audible voice. You have a dream or an inspiration. Okay? Now, listen very well. I say it again. I say, there is no prophet in Nigeria, because Nigeria is not a Christian state. Because Nigeria is not a Christian state, God will not place a prophet. Listen very well. A prophet is known. A prophet is known. The king we know. The president we know. We know there is a prophet. If there is any problem, before he even goes to war against Boko Haram, he will go to the prophet. If there is any problem in the nation that he does not understand, he will go to the prophet. And the prophet will be so vindicated that everybody will know when he says, "Thus saith the Lord," you better start shaking. Do you hear me? When somebody comes and tells you the kind of prophet we have in Nigeria, hey! The answer prophet, I'm going to explain something for you people. The type of prophet, the prophet that we have in Nigeria, they are the type of prophet that we predict Nigeria versus Czechoslovakia. That they are playing finals. Nigeria will win. So you think God is concerned with the sport? In Israel, because it is the nation of God, with a book from God, not a constitution agreed by the people. The constitution, the law, is given by God himself. And when you break that law, they don't go to court. When you break that law, there is a prophet that will tell you, "You have broken the law," and judgment will come from he who gave the law. Listen, church. Now they make me talk with you, and they talk now. I watch every prophet in Israel. The life that they live, you will not hear any scandal from among them. And you don't have more than one at a time. They are always dispensational. Elijah has to go for Elisha to start his own. The two of them cannot be in the land at the same time. Go and read the church history. Because God does not need more than one mouthpiece for his people. He says, by a prophet he brought them out of Egypt, and by a prophet he established them. A prophet. If there is a prophet in the land today, and if this nation, we are a nation of God, this nation is not a nation of God. I say it again. If it's a nation of God, there will be no IPOB, there will be no Biafra, there will be no Niger Delta, there will be no anything like that. Who are you to do that? For what? If this were a nation, amen, we are not having the same father and mother. Are we having Abraham as our father in Nigeria? Are we one family? If not, why is there inter-tribal dissent? If not, why are you saying that Buhari is appointing only Hausa people? Therefore, there can be no voice for the nation. If there were, he will have spoken while they were stealing our money all these years. If he try anything, that Aso Rock, the prophet will march there and nothing will stop him, because when he's coming, everybody shakes. But our own, instead of going to Aso Rock to give thanks, said the Lord, they are going there to collect tithe and offering. The prophet we have in Nigeria, they are looking for money. Flamboyance. Flamboyance. No pattern like that in Israel. When God wants to talk to his people, I say it again, he talks through his prophets. But in this last time, Apostle Paul said, he now talks to us through who? Shout that name again.
His son.
Shout that name again.
His son.
Shout that name again.
His son.
And this is how Jesus talks to us. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 9. 10, 11. And verse 12. Now that he ascended, this he is Jesus Christ. What is he? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Can we read it up to verse 12? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And that Jesus now. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and what? Teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. Not for the perfecting of Nigeria. For the perfecting of the saints, sanctified ones, elect, filled with the Holy Ghost. For the work of the ministry. Which ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, there is the perfecting fivefold ministry. There is the perfecting ministry, and that is the apostolic ministry, and that is the pastoral ministry, and that is the teaching ministry. The remaining two, the evangelical ministry, is the work of reconciliation. They go out to sinners to bring them to Christ. Then they are perfected when they come to Christ through the church, through the pastoral ministry, through the teaching ministry, through the apostolic ministry. Then also for the edification of the body. That is the prophetic ministry. The prophetic ministry here, hallelujah, is for us. When you are there suffering and then you confusion all around you, you are despair, you are frustrated, then God will talk to those he has raised up to prophesy. He will talk through them. Go and tell my daughter. You are just sitting down and somebody will tap you to make you believe that it's coming from God. He will discern you and tell you things that you know only God can know this and bring solution to your problem. That is the edification. That is the edification. He that prophesies Can we read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 from verse 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him, albeit the spirit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 3. Now this is where I am going. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what?
Edification
and what?
Exhortation
and what?
Comfort.
And is not going to call an occultic politician and tell him you will win. Do you understand? The prophets we have now, politicians who have no time for God, in their hearts, not going to serve the people, but to serve their self-interest, come and meet them with fat envelopes and checks. And they will enter the spirit and begin to do work for them. To win. A prophet of God in Israel will not do that. Do you understand? There is one that Jesus said, he's a prophet, but more than a prophet. Who was that? John the Baptist. Why is he a prophet? He didn't discern anybody, but he came with, thus saith the Lord. And he was ministering one day in the temple, and the king entered with Herodias, King Herod. And John saw him and changed his message. Because Herod collected his brother's wife, Philip, and Maria, and they were coming to church to sit down. And John was ministering, and he pointed at him, it is not lawful for you to collect your brother's wife. First, so disgraced, the woman got so angry. Do we have such prophets today in the land? If they have, this country will be better than it is now. Because they too will prophesy. If you don't change, if I be a servant of God, all of you will sleep and you will not wake up. So that this country will move forward. But they don't have that ability. So the only ability they have is to instigate their members. If they come, take up your own and kill them. If you see anybody coming, kill them to defend yourself. Kill them. So it is the same voice they are speaking. Because the community leader will tell their community, make we not sit down here and die. Carry arms or defend yourself. Then you too will be prophet. You too, they stand and say, you too carry ammo and defend yourself. Evidence that you have not received anything from God on that matter. So we are all the same. We are all the same. Praise the Lord. Sister, do you, I hope you know, I use your question to explain some things. Some Nigerians will hear what I'm saying now. In this country, there is no prophet of God. The prophets we have are the fivefold ministry prophets. No dispensational prophet. And the reason is because Nigeria is a secular nation. It's not a Christian nation. Nigeria is not a covenant nation with God. How be it? All power belongs to God. And he proved that to Nebuchadnezzar. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Whosoever will be the president of Nigeria must be sanctioned by God. And it is the leaders the people deserve that God allows to be there. We deserve Buhari. That's why he removed Jonathan and put Buhari. And when he has finished doing what Buhari has fulfilled his own, he will remove him again and bring another one that we deserve. And Apostle Paul told us that we should not speak against authority. We should be praying for them. For all power is from above. Apostle Paul says so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The safest place to be is to be in Christ. You know what? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He speaks to us now by the Holy Ghost. And because he speaks to us by the Holy Ghost, every one of us now, because we are in a better covenant than Israel had. So now, we don't have to run looking for a prophet. He will talk to you by himself. By his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that is the reason why Satan will make sure no true Christian will be president. We'll fight it. Together they will kill him or impeach him. You say, but Jonathan was a Christian. Well, you know who a Christian is. Praise God. I'm not a politician, I am a Christian. And I don't intend to go into politics for any reason. The office I occupy is higher than any political office in the land. And it is not pride, it is revelation. I know who I am. Praise the Lord. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is coming. In the millennium, glory be to God. According to the promise of the scripture, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beck on me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, you know I am no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beg of me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. God bless you. Have you finished your question?
Yes, sir. I have just one because I didn't know you would go to politics.
I didn't go into politics. You are the one that brought political
ones. Yes, I didn't know you would pass through there, sir.
Uh-huh.
As a Christian, does that mean it's not good to be a politician?
You be a politician.
Okay, sir.
Why? I have told you now, not only politician, I say even traditional ruler.
Okay, sir.
But when you get there, shine the light. If you can.
Okay, sir.
If you can.
Thank you, sir.
But it's going to be very difficult. In this present setting, in this Gentile nation, for a true Christian, it's going to be very, very difficult because you will be forced to make some compromises. If not, you will not have votes from the other religions. They will vote you out. Who again? Yes?
Shalom, sir. Sir, please, on the 6th of May, it was on Sunday morning, we were teaching on the topic why you must forgive. And you made a statement that God did not forgive. Even when in Luke 22:34, Jesus says at the cross that, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. I've been battling with this, but I've not been able to get understand of it. But, sir, if you say God did not forgive, I believe we are in the era of grace and mercy. Then I will ask, we'll do something wrong, we'll ask, beg God for forgiveness, forgive. I think that the mercy has already established at the cross when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.
Did they ask for forgiveness?
They didn't ask, but Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.
Did they ask for forgiveness?
No.
Do you not forgive only one who comes to you and asks for forgiveness?
Yes, sir.
Now, you even say under grace. Grace was offered to them, they rejected it. So they were not under grace. But more importantly, let me be more direct. Did he forgive them?
For me, yes, he forgave.
What is the evidence that he forgave them?
Because even when we do things wrong, we beg God for forgiveness, he also forgives us. I believe that same grace is extended to us.
Do you know why Jerusalem was destroyed after the death of Christ?
No, sir.
You don't know?
Yes, sir.
Let's open Luke chapter 19. Let's open Luke chapter 19. Are you there? Verse 41. Up to verse 44. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. Which city?
Jerusalem.
And wept over it, saying, if thou hast known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belonged unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They rejected Jesus Christ. He came to his own received him not. They nailed him on the cross on Calvary. Listen, I gave the interpretation of the prayer of Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He said that they don't know that they were crucifying him. They don't know that they were torturing him. What he's saying is that they don't know what is going to come on them for what they are doing. If they had known the punishment that is awaiting them, they will not do what they are doing against him. And in AD 70, that prophecy came to pass despite Jesus Christ's prayers. Not only that, when they were crucifying him, Herod washed his hands. Pilate washed his hands. Say, he's not guilty of this man's blood. He said, let his blood be upon us. And who? And our children. And he came upon them in AD 70. And he came upon the children during the Holocaust in Germany by Hitler.
Okay, sir.
Did he forgive them?
Sir, the church is saying no.
You. Now, listen. Go and listen to that message I preach again very well. I was trying to let you know why Jesus Christ says, if your enemy is hungry, he said you should do what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to his naked, clothe him. He said, in so doing, what are you doing? You are heaping coals of fire. Now, listen. The Bible said the soul that sinned shall die. Matthew chapter 11 and chapter 3 verse 11. John the Baptist said, Jesus Christ is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I told you the meaning of that verse. He's baptizing with the Holy Ghost now. The same Jesus the merciful God is going again to destroy all those who reject him with fire. And I show you that in the Bible, known as the day of the Lord. The same God that is merciful, the same God also is a consuming fire. So go and listen to that message. Don't you ever think that anybody that offends you will ever go free. That is why he said, pray for your enemies. The reason you will pray for them is because of the certainty of God's judgment that will come upon them for what they do against you. Nobody escapes that. That tries that nonsense. Watch it in the Bible. None escaped it. None. But he wants you to leave him to do the fight. I show you in the scripture where he said, when he begins to deal with your enemy and you start to rejoice, he will stop dealing with the enemy and come and face you. You walk with God. You don't even study to know how to walk with him. And so I taught you, I said, when you hear that your enemy has died, he said, because he said, rejoice not when God is dealing with him. If your enemy die, you should rejoice. But you are not rejoicing because he's dead. You are rejoicing because you are now free from his trouble. They mean two different things. Don't be happy, say, hey, say he don't die now. You don't die. You are to rejoice, not because he died. You are to rejoice because God has set you free. That is God's judgment.